Getting tattoos when in jail is very popular, but tattooing is currently illegal inside prisons in Canada. This pushes the practice underground, creating unsafe practices for prisoners. Unsafe tattooing is just one of several reasons why the rate of HIV infection in prisons is more than 10 times that of the outside population. Unsafe tattooing also contributes to the fact that almost one-third of people living inside prisons are infected with hepatitis C. Community groups, health organizations, and prisoners have demanded access to legal and sterile tattooing equipment for years. The Correctional Service of Canada, or CSC, has finally responded to this demand. There are currently 6 safer tattooing sites set up at prisons across Canada as part of a pilot project. Here to speak with us more on the Safer Tattooing pilot project is Glenn Betteridge. He's a senior policy analyst at the Canadian HIV/AIDS Legal Network. Maybe we can start by talking about what role tattooing plays inside prisons.
Well, tattooing is part of prison culture. It's a big part of prison culture and has been historically amongst both men and women. And tattooing is a way that people locate themselves within the different groups in prison. So it's a sign of belonging, whether it be to an ethnocultural group or a gang affiliation, or just a more general sense of belonging. And so it really plays a large role in people identifying themselves.
Can you tell us what the world of underground tattooing has looked like in prisons? How has that played out inside?
Well, as you said in the intro, tattooing is illegal, and the things you would use to tattoo, principally the needles, are contraband, so they're not permitted in, prisoners aren't permitted to have them. And so people come up with strange and miraculous ways in prison to do things that are contraband or illegal and get and build things that they wouldn't or shouldn't have access to. So we see tattooing guns made out of ballpoint pens with motors from transistor radios and other small electronic devices with sewing needles. And if you hook those up in the proper way, which takes quite a bit of skill, you can make yourself a tattoo gun. And then there's the more primitive tattooing of just using a needle, bare hands and a needle, and putting the needle in ink and putting the needle and piercing the skin in effect so that you put the ink under the skin in the same way that a regulation tattoo gun would do that. And for ink, it's oftentimes burning paper or burning styrofoam and mixing the cinders with water, and that creates the blue-black ink for tattooing. So all in all, not very safe or hygienic practices from the perspective of that tattooing. But beyond that, the risk is of the spread of blood-borne viruses like hepatitis C and HIV.
So now the Correctional Service of Canada has set up a pilot project with 6 safer tattoo sites across Canada. How do these safer tattooing sites address some of the health concerns?
Well, these are probably some of the safest or designed to be some of the safest tattooing sites anywhere in Canada, be they street-based or non-street-based. The sites have been set up with a raft of guidelines and measures to protect the health of the people tattooing and the health of the people getting tattoos. And so tattoo artists have to apply to become tattooists in the program. And in order to become tattooists in the program, they have to go through a number of tests, one of which is the peer education test, which peer health educators have to take, so they become, in effect, peer health educators. But beyond that, they have to take a test about bloodborne viruses. So the way bloodborne viruses like hepatitis and HIV are transmitted and how to prevent their transmission. So they're really equipping the prisoners who are doing tattoos, they're really equipping them to be, you know, tattoo professionals in terms of the safety and occupational health and safety involved. Now, the actual setup of the tattoo shop is also intended to be hygienic and safe and to minimize to the greatest extent possible the transmission of these bloodborne viruses. So, for instance, there's protocols for sterilizing the equipment. And the equipment that the tattooists inside are using is safer than the equipment on the outside to a great degree. So instead of using the traditional tattoo gun, which was electric and had parts which couldn't be sterilized, Correctional Services Canada has bought pneumatic tattoo guns. These tattoo guns are completely metal and can be put in an autoclave, which is a type of sterilizing instrument used in labs and hospitals. And the ink, rather than being in large bottles of ink and dispensed, the ink comes in one-off, one-use containers. So that minimizes the risk of what's called cross-contamination. So one person's blood or bodily fluids getting into the ink and then being passed on to another person. And so on paper, these programs have been designed with risk aversion in mind, in fact. So to the greatest extent possible, to minimize the accidental transmission of bloodborne viruses.
Can you tell us a little bit more about some of the rules and regulations and those implications on prisoners of these safer tattoo sites?
Well, there's a lot of rules and regulations around what can and cannot be tattooed. And they're pretty simple, but there's a lot of them. So no tattoos above, in effect, the collar, so nothing on the face or the skull or the neck, and nothing on the hands and nothing on the genitals. And the theory behind this is those types of tattoos would work against people trying to reintegrate, so-called, into society. The other big limit is on what can be tattooed on somebody's body. And Correctional Services Canada has experts in gang affiliations and gang tattoos. And so the tattoos have to be approved. And if there's any concern that the tattoo is gang-related, the person will not be allowed to get that tattoo. So the implications of this are, as I started off by saying, tattoos are a way for many people to identify with a particular group or a particular gang, either to feel a part of that gang or to get protected by that gang. Prison can be a very violent environment at times, and so people oftentimes need the protection of a specific gang or other and to identify with that gang. So if people can't identify through the tattooing, the chances are they may continue to engage in underground tattooing, so to get tattoos in ways that aren't safe and avoid the setup of the tattoo parlors that have been set up to maximize safety. So the concern with this type of program, which is under the general rubric of harm reduction programs, so to minimize the harm from an activity which risks transmitting HIV or hepatitis C. So the drawback of this harm reduction program is there are certain hoops and barriers to people using it.
So that sounds like there might still be some underground, unsafe tattooing happening inside.
There may very well be, and we have to remember at this point the tattoos are happening, that the safer tattooing is only happening in 6 pilot sites out of 54 institutions across the country. So this is just at its very preliminary stages. And so we'll have to await the evaluations of these pilot tattoo programs to see how effective they were.
So how are prisoners responding to this program? What are some of the things that they're saying about these pilot projects?
Well, prisoners were involved in a community prisoner document about tattooing and how to introduce tattooing into prisons that would minimize the risk of spreading these bloodborne viruses. And one prisoner in particular, Pete Collins, out of Bath Institution, played a large role in drafting, a policy document to bring about safer tattooing. And the call has always been to introduce tattooing as hobby craft, which is an activity like leatherwork, woodworking, glasswork, something like that. Because unsurprisingly, there are tattoo artists, just like there are woodworkers and leather artists in federal institutions. So why not let them set up shops like they would in the community and tattoo like they would in the community, rather than placing these constraints and creating this big bureaucratic system around tattooing. And so the way Correctional Services Canada has gone about this, is incredibly risk-averse, yet at the same time creates a number of barriers to people using it. And so, you know, the prisoner perspective had been, let's create a more user-friendly program, one that's less bureaucratic with less barriers and hoops to jump through. So that's kind of one response. Another response has been quite positive. Prisoners are willing to support programs that look out for their health. They want to support these type of programs. So, I mean, I think opinion is probably split somewhat about how good an idea this is and how well it's working out. So I've heard differing stories from different people. It's hard to get a real sense of how well it's working. And that's where the evaluation is going to come in.
And so I understand that it's one person's job within the prison to be the tattoo artist. I guess my question is, how does that impact the fact that people do have different artistic styles? So in one prison, there would be only one tattoo artist, so you could only get the type of tattoo that they're maybe good at? Is that how it's set up?
Initially, there may be one, but depending on demand, they'll probably train a number of people if there's sufficient demand. Now, it's unclear how much artistry comes in here in the sense of who gets picked to be a tattoo artist. It's unclear who's going to judge who a good artist is for the purposes of tattooing. So, you raise a completely valid point. What if the tattoo artist doesn't do work of the same quality as the underground tattoo artist? That may also pose a problem. And it may also be that people with different gang or other affiliations don't want to go to a tattoo artist that's outside of their group. But we'll see how these things play themselves out.
It's also been well documented that HIV and hepatitis C are spread through shared, unsterile tattooing equipment. So I'm wondering if you have any comment on what took the Correctional Service of Canada so long to come up with this pilot project.
I mean, they've made it quite complicated, but there have been calls from the early 90s for introducing tattooing, and the calls originally for introducing tattooing in this kind of low-threshold hobby craft, just making it one program among many. And yes, there's very good evidence that tattooing is associated with the transmission of hepatitis C. It's theoretically possible with HIV, and there probably have been cases, but it's very difficult to document actual transmission. I think the reason it's taken correctional services so long to get around to this is up until recently, their perspective was not a public health perspective. Security concerns were preeminent in their thinking and their design of any program. That combined with the fact that CSC is quite an intransigent bureaucracy, it's not one of those forward-thinking, forward-moving bureaucracies, and bureaucracies, as in with any large organization, tend to move in a lumbering fashion. So CSC has not seen this as a public health issue and is reticent to change in any event. More recently, Correctional Services Canada has been aligning themselves more closely with the Public Health Agency of Canada, which was created about 18 months, 2 years ago now. And so they've seen the wisdom in taking a public health approach. So prisoner health, as their mantra goes now, is public health. And so what's done for prisoners affects the population as a whole. Because prisoners, the vast majority of them, come from the community and return to it. And so they've had a bit of a shift in thinking. The other fact in the sort of lethargy of the bureaucracy is CSC has usually been pushed to introduce these harm reduction measures, and it's usually been pushed by court action. So methadone was introduced more widely in Correctional Services Canada institutions as a result of court action. There was no court action around tattooing because, quite frankly, it was not the priority in terms of stemming the transmission of bloodborne viruses. A much bigger problem is the lack of clean syringes or needles. And so my guess is if you asked prisoners in CSC institutions what program they would like to see in place or would have liked to see in place, if you said, do you want safer tattooing or do you want needle exchange, the vast majority would have said needle exchange, recognizing that, you know, there is a problem with injection drug use, and it's a pretty surefire way to transmit HIV and hepatitis C.
Well, the fact is that this is a pilot project, right? So how is it going to be evaluated, and how is it going to receive input and decide sort of where it goes after the pilot is over?
Yeah, there's an evaluation framework in place, but there's a bit of concern with that framework for a number of reasons. Firstly, the program was supposed to get underway as of the 1st of April of 2005. It's only recently really got underway. So it took them a long time to bring themselves up to speed, train people, and actually get the physical plant of the tattoo shops in order. And so they're, you know, more or less 6 months behind. And the plan was to evaluate the safer tattooing sites at the end of a year. So the evaluation may not be as comprehensive and probably won't be as one would want. The second concern is that Correctional Services Canada has their own research branch. And so they do their own evaluations. So there's no outside input into the evaluations. And the concerns of prisoners and community groups who represent and work with prisoners may not be reflected in the type of questions that they're asking at one end, or even, you know, more fundamentally, the design of the evaluation. So we have some pretty serious concerns about the evaluation and how useful it is going to be, whether it's, you know, going to look at the right thing and ask the right questions.
And is there any way that people, either on the inside or outside, who have feedback or want to support these programs can do so? And where would they go about sort of directing that energy?
Yeah, if people want more information or have concerns about the Safer Tattooing Program, they can email or write to Correctional Services Canada. The program is being administered out of National Headquarters in Ottawa. And if they go on the Correctional Services Canada website, they can get the links and the address to provide their feedback. There's no button per se that says provide your feedback on safer tattooing, but the people to provide the feedback to would be the National Health Services at Correctional Services Canada in Ottawa. And the woman responsible for the program right now, her name is Deborah Gaskell.
We have been speaking with Glenn Betteridge. He's with the Canadian HIV/AIDS Legal Network. Safer tattooing sites, the pilot sites, have been set up at 6 federal prisons across Canada, this in order to help prevent the spread of HIV and hepatitis C. For more information on the Canadian HIV/AIDS Legal Network, you can check their website. It's www.aidslaw.ca. And also the Prisoners HIV/AIDS Support Action Network, which is also known as PASAN. They're in Toronto, and they're going to be taking feedback from prisoners on the Safer Tattooing pilot projects. So you can call them toll-free. It's 1-866-224-9978. That's 1-866-224-9978. They also accept collect calls from prisoners across Canada at 416-920-9567. That's 416-920-9567.